In a world full of noise, long-term thinking stands out. On the Capital Ideas podcast, Capital Group leaders explore the decisions that matter most in investing, leadership, and life. It's a rare look inside a firm that's been helping people pursue their financial goals for more than 90 years. Listen to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Always happy to welcome in one of the all-time greats. I feel like we say all the time in the show, he could be the next Mark Messier. We say that about a guy coming in from another organization to help a team win a championship. Maybe he'll be the next Mark Messier. It hasn't happened yet since Mark Messier did it, but he's in studio with us, of course, Stanley Cup champion, Hall of Famer, one of the greats with his brand Game 7, which is the first brand partnership the New York Rangers have ever had on their jersey, of course, this in the centennial season. Mark, welcome to the show. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be here in studio live with you guys. It's been at least a year since...
At least a year, you know, and he's on the other side now. He's with us.
I'm with you guys.
Dark side. You know, I'll tell you what, man, working with that PK Subban, man, that's got to be interesting.
PK and I have become great friends. Like any team, it takes a while to get the synergy and the chemistry going. I think we're doing a decent job there now, and we're having fun doing it. And PK is an interesting guy, but I love the guy.
You know, I've worked with a lot of flamboyant guys before, guys that are just loud and just dress loud, and but they actually do bring the energy every time that camera goes on.
He's very good at the job, and he's got an effervescent personality. He brings a lot of energy to the studio. He brings a different element to the studio because of his style and. You know, he's obviously an ex-player. He knows what he's talking about when he's breaking down film and all that. So I love working with him, and I think the show's good because of him.
Yeah, he's not afraid to say, you know, throw a little criticism
Absolutely.
Out there. You,
Absolutely.
By the way, like, a little bit more careful. I will say that you say what you got to say, but you're Mark Messier. I mean...
Boomer, yeah. Let me tell you, and you know, because you're in the business yourself, the biggest fear that I had taking the job is I had to be critical of players, and I didn't never. It goes against everything in my instinct to be critical of players because I was always protective of my players. But I realized my new team is the audience, and I got to be actually very honest with my assessment. And if someone made a mistake, they made a mistake, and I have to point it out. It's just the way it is. It's nothing personal. It's just someone made a wrong decision.
Let's test it out now. Who's the softest player in the NHL right now?
You know, the amazing thing I was going to ask you about who's the worst GM in the NHL right now, but I don't want you to answer that one. You know, by the way, have you seen this kid, Matthew Schaefer?
Amazing. I saw his goal the other day when he went wide and they scored it again in overtime. The kid is electrifying. You talk about bringing in a player to energize a fan base, an organization that been struggling for some time. This kid is legitimate player. The compete level is off the chain. He's literally bringing his team into the fight every game. The consistency that he's played with, and of course, like Scott Stevens used to say, no defenseman up until they played 200 games really knows nuances of the position, defense, because it's the hardest position in the league to play. But this kid has just been amazing so far.
You know, he lives with my son-in-law and my daughter, right?
Yep.
So I got a chance to meet him a couple times, and I've told Gio and the crew here, I said, I've never met an 18-year-old. Like, when you're talking to him, he's 18.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's been through a lot of
yes.
in his life. He lost his mom, lost his billet mom. You would know yep. more about that than I would in terms of how important they are yep. in your life and your growth as a young man. I still have a hard time believing that and he's a young 18 right yes. now. He just turned 18.
Yeah, some. You know, you got to look, you know, into the parenting of a kid that grows up like that, that is that polished, that mature, that well-spoken, that aware of himself coming into the professional league. I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's parenting.
Yeah.
And, you know, God rest his mom, but, and, you know, obviously he's given a lot of credit, but what a selection for the Islanders, and what a player to build the team around.
You know, I know you and Wayne Gretzky, when you were that age, you guys were advanced in your skills, and
I wasn't. Wayne was.
Wayne was.
I hardly played junior hockey, so I was a very unfinished product by the time I turned pro. So I had to kind of hone my skills at the professional level, which is never easy.
It's never easy, but watching this kid, I even asked my son, I said, like, how did you know? Like, he played 17 games
right
before he was drafted by the Islanders. And there was a little bit of a discussion, should the Islanders take this kid Hagans,
right.
who's from Long Island,
right.
and a great player in his own right, who's ended up playing at Boston College, or do you take this 17-year-old defenseman that only played 17 games? How can you tell when a guy is that good, young?
You know, my dad used to say he could smell a hockey player the first time he walks into a rink there, because if you know hockey, certain players just have that it factor. I think they've obviously been tracking Matthew Schaefer since he was probably 14, 15 years old and on everybody's radar. Unfortunately, got hurt the last year of junior, but I think there was enough book on him to know that what kind of person he was, what kind of player he could be, and most important element of professional teams across the board is their scouting. When you get top selections, you can't miss on those players, and you have to be able.
Don't we know that?
And you have to be able to select players deeper in the rounds, third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, that actually can fill a hole, no matter where on the team. And the Islanders, scouts did a tremendous job deciphering through all the information, not taking the popular pick, which you call Hagans, which
yeah.
is probably going to be a great player too, but Schaefer turned out to be an amazing pick for the Islanders.
Talking to Mark Messier, he's here on behalf of his brand Game 7. They have a great partnership with the Rangers. We will talk more about one of the things that truly amazes me about Boomer, and I'm not being facetious, is how hard he takes these Rangers losses still to this day.
Oh,
as
yeah.
a 64-year-old sure. former professional athlete who won an MVP, he still comes in after a regular season Rangers loss, and I call him Poopy Pants Boomer because nothing can make him happy.
Yeah.
So I need to hear that things are going to get better this season so I could deal with a happier Boomer. Do you see the Rangers figuring it out this year and becoming the team that you had hoped it had been prior to the season
starting? Well, I'm in the boat with Boomer there because I watch every Ranger game myself, so I'm every loss hurts, every win is great. And I think Boomer and I can speak to all Ranger fans across
yes,
the board that, you know,
yes.
you live and die by every game. It's just yeah. the way it is. I mean, it's in your blood. Look, the Rangers have made big changes over the last year. There's no question. And when you bring in a new coach, you change the nucleus of the team. The chemistry, the core of the team takes years to build, and you can't expect that to happen overnight. They had a really good core there when they had some years of success. They weren't quite able to get over the top. But they changed the core, and that is going to take some time. And then you bring in a new coach with a different philosophy of how to play defensively, offensively. And they're leaning on a lot of younger players now to, you know, play a bigger roles on the team, and it's going to take some time. So I think, you know, for me personally, there I look at it, there's got to be some patience. At the same time, there's not a lot of patience for Ranger fans, so it's a tough situation.
You know, but, I know you got Game 7. I would have won Game 6 of myself, because that Game 6 against the Devils still lives in my heart as one of the most amazing sporting games and experiences that I've ever seen. And I was there up close and personal, and it was amazing. You know, the thing about the Rangers is the passion of the fan base.
Yes.
And it never wanes. It never,
never
wanes. Like, you know, I think the Jet fan has been hit over the head with the idiot stick. The Met fan has been hit over the head with the idiot stick. You know, even the Giant fan, where they're not even showing up to these games anymore. You know, the garden's always full
always for
a Ranger game. There is something about a Ranger fan, and, you know, we're passionate. Sometimes we get idiotic, too, and we have unrealistic expectations. I think the big miss, if I had to guess over the last 4 or 5 years, was the ability that they had to trade for Jake Guentzel, and they didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think we all hear hearsay of what could have been, should have been, the opportunities, but unless you're really in there and knowing what the actual deal was. Look, I think Jake Guentzel is an amazing player. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. All he does is score wherever he goes. You know, he played some great players with Sidney Crosby, and he's in a good position now in Tampa.
But he ends up in the Eastern Conference with these teams, and he kills the Rangers.
Yeah,
that's all the more reason to get him on your team.
Yeah.
Jesus, God almighty.
But getting back to the Ranger fan, I'm... You know, look at, I felt that.
In a world full of noise, long-term thinking stands out. On the Capital Ideas podcast, Capital Group leaders explore the decisions that matter most in investing, leadership, and life. It's a rare look inside a firm that's been helping people pursue their financial goals for more than 90 years. Listen to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Responsibility and energy, my first game at Madison Square Garden. I'll never forget sitting there going, wow, this is really something. And the responsibility that I felt coming here with the expectations to try to win a Stanley Cup after, at that time, 51 years, and the weight of it. And I think the expectations that you get when you play in New York, and certainly for the Rangers, are one of the things that makes it so special. It's that fan base that cares, and they hold you accountable, but to me, that is a positive as a player. I want to be in an environment that expectations are high. They're demanding. I'm not going to be let off the hook if I don't perform. I have to be ready to play. I have to put the work in. I have to put, you know, the time and to try to build the team around me. It's just part of playing in New York. And if that is too much, then so be it. But that's what New York demands. That's what the New York fans demand. And to me, I think it's one of the most important parts of any organization when they go on and win Stanley Cup is that demand, that pressure, that accountability is there for teams and players. And players, if you're not doing it, you're going to hear about it.
Now, I hear a lot from former NHL players when they're talking about their best teams. It's not just the chemistry on the ice. It's the chemistry off the ice and the room that works.
Yeah.
And there's rooms that work and there's rooms that don't work. Now, Chris Drury looked at this previous team in that room and said it's not working for some reason and did break it up. What do you know about that room that wasn't working for the Rangers and Chris Drury and why he had to do it?
That's a great question, and I don't have that kind of information, because unless you're actually in the room and in the organization to understand the nuances of personalities and what's going on, I would only be speculating. So I can't answer that. I don't know if they broke the team up the year before because of that. I think is when they decided to move on from some of the players like Kreider, and that last year's team broke apart.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I'm not going to speculate. I don't think they broke the team up. I think they broke the team up because they probably weren't sure that they could get over the top with the players that they had at the time. And I think that's a different conversation.
Sure.
And that's a philosophical conversation when you get into, you know, management, coaches, and the decisions that they have to make in order, because their responsibility is to win. And when they're in that position, they have to make hard decisions. And I don't envy them having to make those decisions, because sometimes you got to make moves that are unpopular that you think are the best thing for the organization. And only time will tell what those decisions are.
You know, when you have the C on your jersey, that means something in your sport. I mean, that is all about your sport. And it's always a special guy who wears it, much like yourself. Chris Drury wore it when he was here. And he basically, in my eyes, shivved the back of the captain that was here. And that was Jacob Trouba. And then it took a while to get out from underneath all of that. And they're still fighting through all of that. And now they have all these injuries happening. We got the Olympics coming up. Unlikely that JT Miller, you know, of course, Adam Pox didn't make the team anyway and just got hurt again. Igor Shesterkin's not playing because Russia doesn't have a team in the Olympics. Maybe that's a good thing for the Rangers that they have that big break in there. And maybe when they come back, they can make a run right before the trade deadline. But I would think that, what do they got, about 40 games left?
Yeah, somewhere in there, halfway mark right now, yeah.
What do you think their record would have to be if they're going to make it into the playoffs?
Well, I think to be comfortably in the playoffs, you're going to have to get yourself 10 or 12 games over 500.
Okay.
And you look at the Eastern Conference, every team in the Eastern Conference has a winning record.
It's amazing, and that's why the Rangers are at the bottom.
I don't know who's losing. If everybody's winning, who's losing? And then you look on the West side, I think there's four to five teams that maybe have losing records.
Right.
But everybody in the league, you know, 85% of the league has winning records.
Which is good. I mean, you want teams in.
Yeah, you want all the teams in. Yeah. Every game matters. I mean, you're not playing on the soft side of the puck in the midpoint of the season. I mean, every point, every battle is important that will ultimately determine whether you make the playoffs or not. And there are no games to throw away. So I think for the Rangers, they're going to have to figure out a way to go on a really hot streak to get themselves well over 500, get themselves in position, and then hang onto the rope. And it's not like they can't do it, but they haven't got on that run yet.
It's going to be really interesting.
We're all waiting for it.
Well, where they are prior to the Olympics. That's the whole thing. Because if they are close and they're still in the mix, by the time the Olympics come around, they'll get that 3-week break.
Right.
They'll get all their guys back, yep. You would think, and then maybe they make a run. Who knows? Have you ever been on a team that has been shut out as much at home as the Rangers have?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's insane.
Yeah, and who knows why. And I think at the start of it, at early in the season, I think you could chalk a little bit up to like new systems. Players weren't reacting. They were thinking about where they should be on the ice, it's an orchestrated chaos when you're on the ice in order to cover the ice as five-man units. And if someone's out of position, it's really, you leave yourself vulnerable. So I think there was a little bit of that early. Then I think there was a little bit of bad luck. And then I think the confidence starts to wane a little bit.
Man.
And then it just compiles. And, the Rangers have played some great games this year. And everybody's waiting for them to kind of take that next step there. So, we can look at all the negative things that are going on, but we also have to look at some of the positive things.
The Winter Classic was unbelievable.
Great, great game. And they played some – the consistency, I think, is what has been lacking with the Rangers. And as Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are.
So, yeah, exactly.
I mean, we at the 40-game mark, we're getting a good idea of what the Rangers are. But I think at the same time, we all see the potential that they could be, so we're waiting for that.
One final question about the Rangers before we get to Game 7. Artemi Panarin, is he a Ranger next year in your eyes?
That's hard to say. I think it's all going to be determined by what happens this year. And I think it all determines what kind of deal that they can make between the team and himself. And I think obviously he loves it here. I know he lives out in Greenwich, so I know a lot of people that see him having coffee down on the avenue all the time.
With hair or without hair? Without hair.
And he seems to be a likable guy, and yes. And all the things. I mean, everything that he's one of the players that has that magnetic personality that can bring the fans into the equation. He's got amazing talent, and ultimately in the end the game is about winning and losing, so we'll have to wait and see.
All right, I got one more question for you, and it's a little bit of a loaded question, but you're not in any way part of Ranger management or any of that stuff, right? Yes. I mean, you have a business with them with Game 7 and everything. We see it on the jerseys. It's great. All right, so you're not a part of Ranger management, right?
Not at all. No.
Okay, right. But where'd you come from again? Before you came from the Rangers?
Edmonton.
Edmonton, right. What's the guy's name on Edmonton that's playing there now?
McDavid.
Yeah. Have you spoken to him about coming to New York? He's got a nice, easy, tradable contract.
I don't speak to any player in that regard. I'm not in management whatsoever. I think everybody's going to speculate in what he might do in 2 years. I think he did the right thing by giving Edmonton a couple of years to see if they could win a cup there. He's given Edmonton everything.
That's what I'm saying. So, and he gave them a contract that's very tradable.
Very, very well. Not only that, but also he can a contract that they can put some players around him. Yeah, and I think one of the things Sidney Crosby did so well is that he took a very modest contract for what he could have demanded because ultimately, in the end, he wanted to win, and he knew he needed players around him.
It's kind of like Tom Brady when he was playing back in New England in the days, but now everybody's getting as much money as they can.
What's the most important thing to you? Is it the money, or do you want to win? If you want to win, then you have to leave something on the table to build a team around you, and nobody's done that better than Sidney Crosby.
Exciting stuff happening with Game 7 and your partnership with the Rangers. Tell us about both of those things.
Well, Game 7 was an interesting concept, and we all know what Game 7 means and the journey to get to a Game 7 and life lessons that you learn along the way and failure and success. And, you know, had the opportunity, my partner and I, Isaac Chura, locked up all the IP and trademarks around the world and just set out to try to build a brand with two greatest words in sports, and tell the stories about how people are successful in those most pressurized moments. And, you know, Super Bowl is a Game 7.
Yeah, it is.
And when they're faced with adversity, and hopefully the teachings for us through this brand awareness is, you know, giving everybody the question, what is your Game 7 moment in life? And if we can answer that, because ultimately you don't have to be an athlete to have a Game 7 moment that's going to change the trajectory of your life in one way or another. And I think that's what Game 7 is really about. And we're celebrating the people that have done it well, and we're trying to educate the people in their own lives. If you are faced with this, what are the life skills that are required in order to be successful in those most pressurized moments in sport or in life? And I think, to me, I can just look at my own people that helped me along the way, the defeats, the suffering, the setbacks. Even here in New York, in the second, you know, the second year in New York was a tough year. You know what I mean? There are a lot of... You know, you have to be self-aware enough to understand where you failed personally, where you failed as a team, and make corrections along the way. And ultimately, when you get that opportunity again, there you're ready for it, and you act on it, and you're successful.
Yeah, we know the most famous Game 7 in Ranger history. We all know that one. How many Game 7s did you play in your career?
Well, that's a great question, because I played a 9, and of course, owning Game 7, I got to know my own record in Game 7. I had a 7-2 record in Game 7, but you know what had an amazing record in Game 7s? It was Henrik Lundqvist.
Really?
I think it was 7-0, and his goals against were insane in those games as a Ranger for Henrik Lundqvist. So maybe he is Mr. Game 7.
There you go.
And you can check it out at game7.com, also on Instagram, X, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook. Mark, always great seeing you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on. I got some sweatshirts for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Free stuff.
We sent some to your house, and I didn't know that you didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Okay, well, we got you covered today, so it's all good.
All right, good. Awesome. Perfect.